This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
And welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour on this free-for-all Friday, 888-900-9966. It's Jobby Nooner Day. We're going to try to get down to that big event on the east side of the state, try to find somebody down there that will respond at this hour. Of course, most of them have been up all night playing, and now it's the big the flotilla going out. But we're going to start on the hotline this morning. Matt is on the line in Okemos. Matt, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm really upset about what they've done with Donald Trump. I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump, but I think we need a new protective class. I looked on the internet, and under the federal regulations, political affiliation is not protected. And what he spoke out was his political viewpoint. They've done this with Chick-fil-A. They've done this with the CEO out there with Prop 8 in California. They're attacking free speech with the CEOs and other people. Free citizens.
Yeah,
they're attacking them.
Yeah, but Chick-fil-A just stood up and gave him the primary feather. Stood up and gave him a primary feather and said, run along. The problem is, it's freedom of speech, but only if you say exactly what they want you to say or what they accept. Because otherwise, you know, you're hateful, you're a bigot, you're this, you're that, blah, blah, blah.
Right, but the problem is we need to protect people's political affiliation. They fired a guy that was working behind the scenes with Obama because he had a Bush cap on, and he was representing his son's ship that he was on. It was nothing to do with Bush, and they fired him doing the lighting when Obama was on his first campaign. So you cannot fire people because of their political viewpoints. It should be a law.
I don't disagree with you. All right, so let's work towards that. Let's not be able to fire.
Seriously, we should talk about it every week about people that do this.
People that get fired because they have a political opinion that's different than somebody else. Matt, thank you for checking in.
Yeah, call in if you've been fired.
All right. I appreciate it. Yeah, call in if you've been fired. You got plenty of time on your hands. Let us know why. Matt, greatly appreciate it on the hotline this morning. It is Free for All Friday. It is also Jobby Nooner Day. And for some of you, you're going, what's Jobby Nooner? Well, Jobby Nooner, well, the way it was described to me yesterday, I can't say on the radio, and not by our... But not by Brother Shane. Brother Shane takes part in Jobby Nooner every year. He's down there live on the east side of the state. Shane, what's up?
Well, good morning, Steve. Yeah, we're just getting ready to shove off. I was out loading sandwiches and beverages onto the boats just before we leave here.
Let's talk about those beverages. I mean, I see how you just brushed right by it, but let's be honest. Jobby Nooner is about adults and adult beverages. Come on.
There is quite a bit of adult beverages, but they have law enforcement will be out there in mass.
Yeah,
it's always interesting because you see Homeland Security, OPP, because it's right on the Canadian border, Coast Guard, Homeland Security, two different sheriff's departments all running boats through there. And usually they estimate between 5,000 and 10,000 boats. And the boats we got going out all have, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 people on them. We're going out in a little group to tie off together, and it's just a lot of fun. It's going to be a beautiful day, a little bit cool. The water's only in the 60s, so I don't think many people are going to be swimming. But the water's a little shallow this time of year. It's a little deep. Normally it's shallower, so we're going to be tying off. It's going to be a little deep out there. But it's a good time. A lot of people make an effort to go, and that's what we're going to do.
So as many as 10,000 boats. And so what's the nearest city that you're near? How close are you?
Well, we're right in Harrison Township, in one of the canals leading out to the lake, and that's where we're taking off from. When we get out right by the lake, we'll be right by the Air Force Base.
So here's a little something. Now, hold with me there just for a second, Shane. I'll get a little bit more.
Sure.
But here's a package of stricter laws. It's an important time to bring this to people's attention as we're right in the first month of summer here. A package of stricter laws prevent drunk boating has taken effect this year in Michigan. Yep. The laws lower the blood alcohol limits for people driving boats on Michigan waterways to provide stricter penalties for violators down to 0.08, the same as operating a motor vehicle. So it's the across-the-board standard now. People under the age of 21 may not operate a boat with any alcohol in their system. And make no mistake, the penalties are stiff. And if you get a DUI on your boat or in your car, a lot of things can happen. For example, you mentioned the OPP there. You would not be allowed to go to Canada. They would deny you entry to Canada.
Right. And we were having discussions about that last night when we were sitting here, because one of the guys we got is going with us just picked up his boat yesterday. And we were teasing about the fact this time around he doesn't get the drink. And they're out there enforcing. They are watching for the boaters that are obviously been imbibing a little too much.
Well, it looks like the weather's going to treat you guys just about perfect today. We were talking to Ivy and I had some other friends who were headed your way, and they were on a big boat as well. A lot of nice boats. You see a lot of really cool boats at Jobby Nooner. Well, the weather's going to be terrific.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of, they're all, there's some dinghies and some rowboats and a lot of personal watercraft, but there's a lot in the 30 and 40 range. We had been traveling for several years on a 50-some footer, but alas, they sold it because it was too big and he couldn't musky fish off it. And he's a big musky fisherman.
Well,
so
and that's important.
He's gone to a little bit smaller boat.
So see, that's what I would do. If I was at the Jobby Nooner, we'd be heading out there. We'd be going, slow the boat down. You're trolling too fast. You're trolling too fast.
It's always interesting because once you bust out onto Lake St. Clair and go across, you just look in all directions, and you can see several hundred boats at a time, all heading towards Gull Island. It's it looks just like a armada going across. It is pretty interesting.
It's the annual pilgrimage of Jobby Nooner.
Yes.
It's the annual pilgrimage across Lake St. Clair, and thousands of people get involved with this and have it just a terrific time. And again, be safe.
Started this, I can't remember how many years ago, but this all started because. It was a changeover for one of the auto factories, and these guys would take this day and start doing it on a Friday because they couldn't normally do it during the week. And that's how it got started, and it just kept building and building. On Gull Island, they set up a big stage and have music and contests of varying sorts, adult-type contests mostly, and it's just turned into a big, happy gathering.
All right, Shane. Now keep this in mind, Shane. Brother Shane's on the line this morning. Keep this in mind. I realize that at some points of these get-togethers that, clothing becomes optional. Not for you.
I got long pants and a sweatshirt on. Are you kidding me? It's going to be cold out there.
All right. Be safe out there. Our eyes and ears out there. Jobby Nooner, Harrison Township, headed for Gull Island across Lake St. Clair. A big Michigan event, to say the least. 5,000 to 10,000 boats. Tens of thousands. Probably more today because of the great weather. All right, Shane, thank you so much.
We'll talk to you.
There you have it. A big free-for-all Friday salute to the Jobby Nooner folks. I wouldn't mind going live down there at some point. Heading across the pilgrimage across Lake St. Clair, underway now on this terrific Friday, to say the least. It's 14 after on the Steve Gruber Show. Sometimes we have to take a breath and do something a little more entertaining. Straight ahead this morning, though, John Prosser, the president of the Neurotrauma Association. We have an update on the no-fault insurance battles going on here in the state of Michigan. Straight ahead on the Steve Gruber Show.
This is the Steve Gruber Show, bringing you the news and newsmakers that affect you most.
18 after on this free-for-all Friday, covering a lot of territory today, a lot of healthcare territory today. This is a little bit different as we discuss in part the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association and the move to change no-fault insurance in Michigan. It has created some pretty clear lines and divisions on who's on what side. And, it was Governor Snyder all the way back in 2013 proposed an end to the Catastrophic Claims Association. Now, it's a fund that I think it's got about $18 billion now, that if you're in a car wreck and your bills exceed somewhere just over $500,000, the state of Michigan in this Catastrophic Claims Association fund will take care of your care. And some of the insurance companies and so forth are pushing back against that, want to change that. John Prosser, the president of the Neurotrauma Association, has a different perspective on it. He's been on the program before. Welcome back, John.
Hey, thank you so much, Steve. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, my friend. So where are we in this process? I mean, the divisions are clear. We've got people that are out there pushing hard to say, you know, if we get rid of this $18 billion fund, it'll save drivers $100 a year and it'll be good for Michigan. But you say otherwise.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we have the greatest value in America, Steve, and for $150 a year per car, you have lifetime medical benefits, which will prevent you from going through medical bankruptcy, falling to Medicaid, and suffering from the neglect of a lack of resources. The really good news is right now the coalition, Protecting Auto No Fault, in concert with 53 co-signers in the House of Representatives, are promoting House Bill 4752, which would make the MCCA and the approximately $20 billion in the catastrophic fund totally transparent. Now, we are in recess right now, but when the representatives come back, we will need a mere three more votes to pass this out of the House back to the Senate to then make transparent the billions of dollars that are put into that fund by drivers exclusively.
Yeah, because in a lawsuit here a few years ago, for those of you that don't know, a judge, an appeals court, decided that the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association was not subject to the Freedom of Information Act. So it's kind of been kept in the dark as to how much money is there, where the money's being paid to, you know, who's collecting and so forth.
Well, that's correct. And presently our lawsuit, Steve, is in front of the Supreme Court. And they did ask us for our written arguments this spring on why we know that the catastrophic fund is not exempt from FOIA. Professor Noah Hall from Wayne State University, one of the foremost constitutional attorneys in the state of Michigan, says, in fact, it is not exempt from FOIA. There was an attempt by some people in the past to try to make it so, but it was never codified by the Senate or the House. And it has no standing to be exempt. Presently, the good news, Steve, is the Coalition Protecting Auto No Fault has put forth seven amendments to the Senate Bill 248, which you'll recall was hastily passed by Senator Yoon, the chair of the Senate Insurance Committee, who right. in a mere 17 hours passed this bill out of committee and out of the Senate, not allowing the Coalition to Protect Auto No Fault to testify.
That's
CPAN. I mean, he actually had the circus of self-interest from insurance companies come up there for an hour and 45 minutes, and he gave two people from our point of view 5 minutes each. Whoop-de-doo. But if I can, I'd like to recap for you what the summary of our proposed amendments are. Those amendments include a cost containment amendment, which would creates a fee schedule for all non-hospital services equal to 185% of current workers' compensation charges. We would also have a fraud authority amendment that has a balanced fraud authority, which would require the investigation of unfair claims handling practices by insurance companies who wrongfully deny legitimate claims. The third amendment would be a claims processing fairness that streamlines the medical billing process for patients with coordinated coverage. The fourth amendment is a fix to the Admire-Griffith circumstance, which undoes the uncertainty created by recent Michigan Supreme Court decisions mm-hmm. in areas such as medical causation, attending care, and handicap-accessible vans. The next one is attendant care. And what that does, Steve, is it tightens up the language approved by the House Insurance Committee so to make sure that family members can be hired by an outside agency and they're not subject to insurance company provider networks. And this amendment also maintains the right for families to choose their medical care providers. And an equally important amendment is the health insurer lien amendment that codifies existing case law to preserve liability claims for catastrophically injured people that were hurt by others that were at fault. And presently, those amendments have been presented to Mr. Tom Leonard, who is the chair of the House Insurance Committee,
and to give people
and our primary lobbyist, Kevin McKinney, for the coalition, has presented those directly to Mr. Leonard for his review. So we're awaiting his response.
And to give people an idea, there are about, roughly, John, about 13,000 people that are currently collecting benefits under this catastrophic fund, having been involved in accidents that exceeded their insurance, and therefore were not bankrupted. 13,000 folks. And at the end of the day, you say $100 a year you might save. Some people say you might only save about $60. I guess it depends on who you're talking to. But for me, with $18 or $20 billion, and they're paid exclusively by Michigan drivers, I don't understand this deep into it why we would change direction or want to change direction. I'll give you 30 seconds for the last word, because that's all we have.
Well, we shouldn't change direction, Steve. This is the finest model in America. People can go to the CPAN website, cpan.us, and discover that, in fact, this is the finest model ever created for the care, recovery, and rehabilitation of catastrophic injuries. If you don't have it, you're going to go bankrupt. You're going to fall to Medicaid, and you're going to suffer from neglect. It's terrible and bad public policy, Steve. Thank you for this opportunity.
John, always a pleasure. John Prosser, always a pleasure. President of the Neurotrauma Association and working to protect those involved in catastrophic accidents. John, I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Look forward to it, Steve. Have a great weekend.
It's Free for All Friday. If you'd like to respond, 888-900-9966. It affects every Michigan driver. 888-900-9966. Back in just a moment on the Steve Gerber Show.
Steve Gerber Show. Get the news and information vital to your world.
When we are no longer a nation of laws, but a nation of men, that's when the Republic starts to be deeply in peril. I guess that's what Antonin Scalia was alluding to when he referred to the gymnastics, the legal gymnastics required to find that Obamacare, as written, was and upheld 6-3 by the Supreme Court. Paul Howard here from the Manhattan Institute in the King versus Burwell case. Court has lost an opportunity to rein in this administration that has all too conveniently forgotten about the letter of the law. In fact, does the law even matter anymore? Paul Howard, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
So tell me, does the law matter anymore? I mean, I thought words mattered. I thought laws mattered. I didn't think it was up to the Supreme Court to say, well, you know, what they're really intending here, because the way that Chief Justice, the way the Chief Justice wrote his opinion is that, you know, Roberts saying, well, you know, what they really intended to do was this. They didn't intend to do it. It's not his job to figure out what they were intending, is it?
Well, there is a line of statutory construction, you know, through Supreme Court cases where, you know, this is one of the routes he could have reached out and grabbed, and he did. He grabbed it. Now, if you read the opinion, what he also says is, look, you know, this thing is, he refers to it as inartful, as having been crafted behind closed doors, as not being, you know, crystal clear. So he admits the law is poorly drafted, but omits the possibility that, yeah, they just did a really dumb thing when they did this. And, you know, if you look at the whole political circumstances surrounding it, this was really a result of Scott Brown's election in Massachusetts that, you know, left them with a Senate version of the bill. That was the status quo. So, yes, this could have been what they intended at the time. And I think arguably that's what the plain letter of the text is. He even admits that the natural reading of the text leads to the dissent's conclusion. But I think John Roberts, and look, I can't read his mind, but if I had to guess, I'd say that, you know, he in the back of his head thinks about the Supreme Court in the 1930s and how, you know, Roosevelt almost went after the court and packed the court. And he's trying to not overturn a standing president's legislative achievement because he doesn't want a massive battle with between the Supreme Court and the president over domestic policy achievement, is saying basically behind his breath or under his breath, yeah, Congress, this is your problem. If you want to fix it, you go ahead and fix it.
Yeah,
I think
know,
that's the
you
wrong
know,
approach here, but that's what I think what he's done.
The problem I have with that, though, if that's true, is that this is a lame duck president who has very little political capital left, who hasn't followed the law, who has violated the law time and again. John Roberts is the same person who, you know, tied himself in pretzels intellectually to uphold the law in the first place, which we all find to be, those of us with clear thinking people find it to be absurd what he did the first time. So here's my question to you. Is John Roberts becoming the liberal champion of the Supreme Court?
Look, if you ask me, I agree with you. I think he did tie himself into pretzels to get the results he wanted in these two cases. The biggest problem I have with this is that you you're making Congress worse. You're not making them better. I don't think Roberts is a liberal. You know, in other cases that were delivered yesterday, he was on the conservative side. I think he's decided that he doesn't want to, in his mind, politicize the court. This isn't saving Congress from themselves, though. This is making them worse. If they think they can pass a real, put it kindly, confusing piece of legislation in a really undemocratic way, where there really wasn't any debate on it, and as Nancy Pelosi said, we'll have to pass it to find out what's in it, then Congress can kind of declare broad intent, pass things in a real partisan, underhanded way during these kinds of circumstances. And the court is, and they're going to think the court's just going to step in there and save them. I think that is a bad result for democracy.
The court is going to step in there and save them. It's happened twice now in this case. So as you look at this, though, I guess the real bellwether then, the tea leaves will be clear when we get the decision, likely today, possibly not till Monday, on the case with the four states, including Michigan, on gay marriage, as to where John Roberts, where his legacy is going to lie, could be defined today.
You know, the thing about Supreme Court justices, of course, is that they're there for an awful, awful long time. And I'm not an attorney, so I'm not going to opine on the future, you know, status of the Supreme Court. What I will say is this. I think they did lose an opportunity. The administration has run roughshod all over the black letter of their own law on the employer mandate, other issues, dozens of times. And at the end of the day, I think, though, Obamacare is not going to be the status quo. It's untouchable, as the president basically said yesterday, because of the fact that it is going to be unsustainable. There are a number of financial supports for insurers.
It doesn't
called,
matter.
Risk insurance, risk corridors. They're going away next year. Insurers are going to have to stay on their own two feet, and there's a lot of evidence there. They're not going to be able to do that.
The point of the matter is this. California's program is going bankrupt. Hawaii's going bankrupt. Their exchange is there. It doesn't matter. Because the Democrats are doing what the Democrats always do. Oh, those Republicans are going to take away your health care. Don't vote for them, those evil people. And you're on down. I mean, let's be honest, Paul. Social Security had little to do with social and anything to do with security, a lot more to do with buying votes. That's the way it started in the 1930s. It's about buying votes. Now I'm persuading people that if you vote for us, you're going to get a pile of free stuff. And if you vote for those guys, even though they're right, they're going to take away your free stuff. And that's what health care is going to be about. It's not going to be about what's right and just and good. It's about power and votes. My humble opinion.
But you know, the great thing is, if something can't continue forever, it won't. You know, the Medicare is, what is it, 30-some-odd trillion dollars in the deficit. Medicaid is literally strangling state budgets in Illinois, in New York, and other states. Look, those problems are not going to go away. You can throw more money at the problem, which is exactly what Obamacare did. But the underlying trends are the same, and then at some point you've got to get under the hood and fix this darn thing. That opportunity is going to come no matter what the president or what Democrats say about it.
Yeah, it's going to come the day that the American economy collapses. Because it doesn't appear that there's a politician on the left or the right or anywhere that has the political courage to stand up. We deal with a lot of feckless politicians in Washington who bump their gums a lot. A lot of talking, but not a lot of doing, my general impression. 30 seconds for the last word, Paul.
Look, I think that at the end of the day, Republicans, conservatives, moderates, what have you, have got to get out the message. And the message is, you know, the costs are the underlying problems for America. They're the problems for employers, they're problems for consumers. If you're a middle-income American, you can't afford Obamacare insurance on those exchanges because you're not getting any subsidies. So you attack that problem like a bulldog, and you put out a message that we can get a better way to a more sustainable health care system for everyone, not just the lucky few who get the subsidy.
And I hope you're right. Don't get me wrong, Paul. I hope you're right. I hope your optimistic view and rosy outlook is true. I just don't see it happening. Thanks for joining us. Well, you'll have that. 55 after the hour. You know, there's a lot of things changing here, and, you know, as far as where we are as a nation and where we're going. And, you know, you look at these changes with healthcare and so forth. You look at the American flag under attack, like I've talked about this week, and you think that, well, that can't happen in America. Well, it can, and it is happening. A common sense is under assault every day in this country. In a way unlike any other time in our history. People are trying to tell us that America is an unjust place, a racist place, a sexist place, where it's not fair and people are mistreated all the time. You know what? Is it perfect? No, but take a look around the world and see how people are treated. You know, in the Arab countries, being gay is punishable by having your head chopped off. Literally, it happens on a very regular basis. America as a sign of racism and intolerance? Not at all. Of imperialism? No. I defy you on that. As we've talked about all week here on the program, America is the great liberator. You know, America's the great liberator, but we have to make some changes. Otherwise, we are in deep trouble. You know, when you say that gay rights are paramount and religious rights are, you know, irrelevant. You know, when the Islamic State is beheading, burning, shooting, and slaughtering people, and you see reports on the mainstream media that the actual big threat to America is white people, white guys primarily. Really? That's your deal? You know, Hillary Clinton can lie about everything, deleting tens of thousands of emails, and you throw Dinesh D'Souza in prison. You know, in Congress, they're going to secret rooms to look at legislation that will affect all of us for the rest of our lives. And that's normal. And meanwhile, the NSA and others are looking at everything you and I do. Chris Kyle, the American sniper, is called a coward and a racist by people like Michael Moore and others. And Bruce Jenner dressed up like a woman on Vanity Fair, and he's called a hero. We're backwards. We're upside down in a lot of ways. And it's time to stand up and say, you know what? Enough of this nonsense. You know, smoking cigarettes is bad for your health, but smoking pot's good for you. Really? Wow. I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Am I completely upside down? We spend more time talking about the fact that Tom Brady let air out of his footballs than things that really matter in this country. Except here, we try to talk about it every day, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9, The Steve Gruber Show, also on the weekends right here on this station. Don't miss it. Thanks for your support again this week, everybody. We'll talk soon. I'm Steve Gruber. Have a great day.